The Lord be with you.
Good morning to you all. It's lovely to be here again. Thank you for making the effort to get out in the cold and the wet and so on. I'm
very grateful that it suddenly turned into winter. I was beginning to run out of shorts and t-shirts. You know how it is. And so now I can delve under the bed and try and remember where I put everything that I need to keep myself warm. I have a bit of a confession to make, actually. I really struggled this week coming up with something to actually talk to you about, because I was very mindful of the fact that next week, or tomorrow in fact, is Sorry Day, and next week is Reconciliation Week. And I thought, well, I really, really need to speak on that subject. And so I had a look at the various readings, and they're very much spirit-centered, which is good. And of course, they talk about building the church, which of course is good. We've got the story of Lydia in Philippi, in Macedonia, as an example of leadership in the church, and I thought that was good. But it didn't really speak to me about reconciliation, particularly. And so I came here today a little unprepared. I have written a sermon, but you know me. That's only really suggestions. And so therefore, I don't know how long we're going to be here, but I am mindful of the fact that some of you will have a roast in the oven, and so please, we need to be out by about 11:30? 1 o'clock. Oh, that's all right. That's more like it. That's what I remember. The good old days. Yes, absolutely. Good. Well, look. I'll start with this. As I say, I don't really have a prepared sermon on this. I really struggled with the readings to try and find a link between Sorry Day and then Reconciliation Week and what we were talking about, because it seemed that somehow rather the writers of the lectionary, the people who'd agreed the readings for today, hadn't really made that connection, and we were actually talking about something else. What we're talking about in the readings, of course, is the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is really important, and that will happen in a couple of weeks at Pentecost, and glory be. Reconciliation. I struggled with what the word actually means, and it feels like it's something we should all want. You know, just as a general concept, not with anybody or between anybody, but just as an idea. We are redeemed people. We are reconciled to God and to each other in Christ, and so therefore we know what it feels like, don't we? It feels fabulous. Yes? Hallelujah. Thank you. All right. Can I have an amen? Anybody? Thank you. All right. It's cold, but our hearts are on fire. It feels like a good thing. It feels like it's something that we ought to aspire to, that we would want to, and that we reconcile everything and everyone to each other. I think the challenge for me, and I think you should all get your pens out and start writing your letters to the bishop. Where it starts for me is I'm not sure what reconciliation looks like. It's kind of the sort of thing that when you get to the end, you look back and you go, oh, of course, that's what reconciliation looks like. But from the other end, you think, well, who and what and why and, you know, what will it look like? What will I be able to do it? Will I be better or better off? What's the game here? What are we trying to achieve here? And they're good questions. They're really good questions. And in many ways, they're the questions that get in the way. They're the questions that get in the way of us starting the journey. So I thought what I would do is I would just listen to God. Funny old thing, you don't hear that from a priest very often, do you? And I would just, in the service, I would be mindful of what was going on around me and listening for the word of God in what we were doing and what we were saying, because it's not really in the lectionary, so I thought maybe it'll be in the service. Well, of course, one of the first things we hear is the Song of Samuel. Now, Samuel, you know, for those of you who missed it in the worship songs, was "Here I am, Lord, is it I?" Now, the story of Samuel is a very sweet story about a young boy who grows up in the temple and works under the direction of an older man who I think probably we would say has become a bit jaded. Would probably be the way of putting it. And he's asleep one night. This is Samuel, and he hears the voice of God: "Get up, get up." And so Samuel, of course, being a good pupil, goes to the master and says, "You called me." And Eli says, "No, I didn't. Go back to bed." So this happens three times. I won't bore you with the details. Suffice it to say, Samuel says, "Is it I that you are calling, Lord?" And God says, "Of course it is. You know, yes. Don't worry. To what?" You know, that's the big question. To what? Well, as it turned out, Samuel was a pivotal figure in the story of the rise of David and so on and so forth, and a very important person. But he didn't say, "Listen, Lord, for I am speaking." He said, "Speak, Lord, for I am listening." He was open to the idea that God somehow would tell him what he needed to do. And I thought, well, that's actually quite a relevant thing for me to hear this morning. That's quite good, isn't it, really? Because if you don't know what to do, maybe God will take the trouble to tell you. Don't keep telling God what you're going to do this is how we're going to go about, and this thing called reconciliation, this is our plan. This is what we are going to do. Would it not be better to say, actually, we get the destination is important. What am I going to do in that? What am I going to do? Remember, we're a redeemed people. We are reconciled to each other and to God. You know, we are in an incredibly fortunate position in this to be able to actually, we get it. And therefore, somehow or other, we may be being called. However, there is that sense of disquiet, isn't there? I am acutely aware that maybe I will say accidentally something this morning which will deeply offend one or other of you. It's just, it is, isn't it? It's around that topic. You know, in our society, you know, reconciliation, we think, oh, you know, it's like, oh, is this really, you know, because there is that feeling. I feel it. My family have lived in this country for 150 years, 170 years. I'm Indigenous, but I'm not Aboriginal. I'm not anything else. I do have a British passport, coincidentally, but that's another story and slightly embarrassing. And I do have a Scottish grandmother. So, yes, that's something we don't talk about very much in my family. But what about, you know, I'm a bit worried about my place in the hierarchy, I'll be candid with you. If we start reconciling as a society and everyone's brought into the tent and everyone gets on with each other, somebody, it might be me, has to give up their place. Or something, I'll get moved to, you know, it's uncertain, isn't it? Change is always uncertain. And that's really, really difficult. Because actually it may not suit us to change. We actually might like to stay exactly where we are. So there's that. So what else did I hear this morning? Well, of course, you know, the first thing, peace I leave with you and my peace I give to you. Well, that was unhelpful, wasn't it? Don't worry. Don't worry, says God. It'll be okay. You know, how many times have we been desperate to hear that? And how many times actually in my life have I heard that? You know, it's some of the great pivotal moments when I sit there and I get anxious about what's going to happen and how things are going to change and what I'm going to do and all of those things. I think, oh, God, just help me. And God says, okay, I'll give you my help. And I think, oh, didn't expect that. I don't know why. Why don't we expect that? You know, God said, I will give you peace and I will give you the strength in your decisions to do something. So why are we so worried about it? So let's do something. Now, the other thing and I was thinking about, and this is probably quite controversial, is the sort of thing we're talking about is, you know, Sorry Day and Reconciliation Day is very much about how the whole of society, but principally our Aboriginal brothers and sisters, can be reconciled with everyone else. Now, that kind of feels like we're being a little bit, I don't know, sort of a bit divisive, perhaps, if I could put it like that, at its essence. But, you know, you think, over the years, a lot of damage has been done to that community in our society by various people, probably none of us, but certainly to that community. You know, what is Sorry Day? Sorry Day is saying sorry, principally for the stolen generations. Who was instrumental in the stolen generations? The church. You're welcome. So suddenly, you know, are we on the inside of that conversation or are we on the outside of that conversation? Where do we stand in that? Well, I think the church, you know, is struggling with that. So perhaps it's the politicians who should get involved. And as I say that, I burst into laughter. I can't see the politicians having the courage, frankly, and I'm not being critical of politicians. They're all lovely people, I'm sure. But, you know, unless they see that they've got something in this and getting something out of this, I don't think they're going to be involved. So if it's not the politicians and it's not the church, who is it? Well, is it I, Lord? Oh, yes, absolutely. And we have been reassured that we will be given the grace of God to do what we are called to do. So actually, ladies and gentlemen, as disappointing as it is to hear it, sorry day, Reconciliation Week begins with us. We have had experience of reconciliation for our egregious sins and all of the things that we have done. And we know that the slate has been wiped clean through the blood of Christ. And so now we are in a position to do something about it. So that raises the question, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to rebuild, repair, renew, reconcile our society? Now, I confess, I haven't got a clue. I don't know. I've spoken to a number of my Aboriginal brothers and sisters who say to me, James, the last thing I want is to be reconciled to you lot. Well, actually, it's funny because I didn't expect to hear that. I thought, no, of course everybody wants this. Why wouldn't you want this? And actually, there are people on both sides of the fence, if I could describe it like that, who don't want to be reconciled. They want to be angry. They want to be hurt. They want to be, feel that visceral anger in their hearts on both sides of the fence. And that's not a good thing. But it is where we are. So we have to try and work it out. And I think the best way to do it is as the Church of England, the Anglican Communion, the Anglican Church in Australia has done, the best way to sort these things out is over a nice hot cup of tea, is actually to start talking to people, actually to have the conversations with people. Now, I know we had the sort of the voice fiasco thing a couple of years ago. I'm not actually thinking about that. I'm thinking about actually sitting down and actually talking to people and saying, well, what does reconciliation look like to you? Because it will look very different to everybody, I think. But we need to find a way forward, a conversation. And we can't say, well, the politicians have got a policy for that, they'll get on with it. Because frankly, I think, ladies and gentlemen, they will not. Because they don't have a vested interest in reconciliation. In many ways, they have a vested interest in the exact opposite. Now, that sounds slightly political, and I do apologise if I'm offending you, but they're not looking for consensus on this somehow. It just feels that way. And as I say, the church is in a bad position, the church that would be the obvious organisation, but caused a great deal of the harm. Not deliberately, I have to say, I do not believe that the harm was caused deliberately by the church, but it was caused. And so therefore we need to sort of stand back from that and say, okay, right, so maybe the institutional church in the wider sense, maybe the institutional church doesn't have a leading role in this. But people of faith do, and that's us. And we need to find a way forward. And we need to find that way through conversation. So I suppose I didn't have anything to say to you, and yet I discover after... Oh, no, is that a countdown or a count up? It's a countdown, isn't it? Okay, I've got to finish in 24 seconds. I'm not going to be able to finish in 24 seconds. I might. I'll try. I'm under pressure now. I don't know what the answer is, but it feels like it resides with us in this room and our brothers and sisters who are in rooms like this all over Australia. We are the ones who need to have these conversations as best as we can with those people that we meet on the street, with each other and with everyone, just as we find them. And actually, I'm not sure how helpful it is. I really don't know how helpful it is for us to say, well... You know, I've been here 170 years and so therefore, you know, I speak from that perspective and I'm going to speak to people who are Aboriginal and they will speak to me in that perspective and we will speak to people who've been in this country for 6 months and they will speak from... I think we just need to actually just put all that to one side and just say, what does reconciliation actually look like? How can we actually make this work? What is it to you? How can we find a way forward? So that's really all I wanted to say, but then I noticed I did write a sermon. This is it. It's all of these points, but then on the top of my piece of paper that I pulled out of nowhere, this is how I write my sermons. It's embarrassing, I know, but you will never be able to buy a book of my published sermons because there is no such thing. On the top of that piece of paper, you won't be able to see this because it's in little writing and in sort of half tone. It says, "Dream big." At the top of my piece of paper, And I just noticed it. It said, dream big. I mean, you can say what you like about the Holy Spirit. He moves in mysterious ways, but that's pretty good, isn't it? You know, so I'm looking for signs. I'm looking for direction. I want to find. And at the top of my page that I'm talking to you about reconciliation, it says, dream big. So let's do that. Let's say, wow, we could do this. Why couldn't we do this? Yeah, why not? What's getting in our way? I mean, I know a few people are angry. I know a few people are saying, there is nothing you can say or do that will reconcile me to you. Well, okay, well, we've been there before. You know, that's okay. Let's just say, okay, fine, we need to find a way especially for you. We need to find a way that we can talk. We need to, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And all the people who feel they're going to lose stuff and not going to be better and all that. So we need to address that. We need to talk about it. But we do need to talk about it. We can't just say, well, it's not going to happen. We're going to have to wait for the politicians. We're going to have to wait for, I don't know, whatever. Can't do that. We have to start. This week, do something. Start it. Dream big. Find out what reconciliation looks like to you. Even think about what reconciliation looks like to you. Talk to somebody else and say, it's a good thing because we are all redeemed. We are all reconciled. We know how good it feels. Wouldn't you like that for everyone else? Absolutely. Of course we would. For our whole society. Why would we not want that? How awesome would that be? But I think it's a mistake to wait for someone else. I think we have to do it ourselves. I think it's really down to us, each and every one of us. And when we find out what it looks like, because we'll be looking in the rear vision mirror going, wow, that was incredible. That was the day. What's the date today? 25th. Okay. In 30 years' time, we'll look back and we'll say the 25th of May. No, you won't. You'll have moved somewhere else. Anyway, don't distract me. The 25th of May was the day it started in Kudanup. That was when it started, the 25th of May. That was the time. That's when that old guy got up and lost his bit of paper and lost his marbles and said, we could do this. We could actually do this. I have no idea how. And I don't know what it'll look like when I get there. But I will when I get there. And I don't know what I have to do. But God will tell me. Here I am, Lord. Dream big. Peace I give to you. You are reconciled. You are redeemed. What else do you need to know? That's it, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen.